Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Overseas Connection, episode 137. Today is October 11th, 2011. And we are indeed the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And I would be your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law. And with me today, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Hello. Skulduggerer. Finished roaming through the gloaming and ready to podcast. How's everybody? All right?
Fantastic.
Who's that you got with you, Greg?
I'm sorry?
Who's that you got with you?
That would be Mr. Christopher Matthew.
All right.
Thank you for noticing him.
I'm not really here.
I'm not.
I'm a figment of your imagination.
You're a ghost.
No, I'm a figment.
Okay. But yeah. Being a figment, you're awfully loud.
Yeah, well, once you get thought in your head, you can't get it out, right?
This is true.
Yeah, I saw it on TV. It must be true.
As seen on TV?
As seen on TV. Hello.
Hello. You know who is not joining us this week?
President Obama.
Actually, you're correct. He declined our invitation. I was shocked that he said no to us. But amazingly, Mike Chin also not with us. Okay, now
it's odd. Mike's usually so reliable.
Yeah, I mean, if you were going to podcast, Chris, I mean, what do you think would probably be the last thing you would ever use as an excuse not to podcast?
Well, in the event of a nuclear apocalypse, the electric grid will probably be disabled, so that might be a viable excuse.
Rich, if you are not going to podcast,
well, I'm reasoning through this, man. This is what you want: critical thinking, right?
True.
I probably would not use Car Trouble. Because that has nothing to do with it.
I don't even think Mike owns a car.
Yeah, exactly. I probably would not use work because clearly I don't care about that. I don't know. A headache would be a pretty lame excuse too, given the lack of physical effort required to actually do a podcast.
Yeah, I have to say I'm right there with you, Chris. And sadly, Mike tried to pull both those cards. Had too much going on with work, and I have a headache.
Yeah, but it works for the ladies.
Yeah, well, I think he's starting up his own business. So, it's not like he's actually got a boss yelling at him. I'm just saying. We're very disappointed in Mr. Mike Chin this week.
Yes, we are.
Very.
All of us.
But that's okay. We will we'll manage without him because you know what? Some of us at least can rise to the challenge. I'm giving him way too much shit for this. Yeah, he wasn't feeling terribly good.
Yeah, it has gone on for a little bit longer than it probably needed. That's probably my fault mostly.
Okay, I'll blame it on you. Let's talk about what we've been playing.
What you've been playing? What you've been playing?
All right, so what we've been playing, Mr. Matthew, why don't we start with you?
Okay, we'll start with me. I have been playing Gears of War 3.
Not a big shock.
No, not a big shock.
No.
Had I played Gears of War 3 Horde mode on Insane last time we talked? I can't remember.
I don't know if we had played or you had played on Insane yet. I think it had just been normal up to that point. So,
I mean, so with the help – oh, no, we had because Mike was here and we talked about his brothers. Yeah, with the help of Mike and his brothers, I managed to get to Wave 50 on Insane, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
Using some of those mutators like the – I don't know how you do it without the mutators. You'd have to be hella good at Gears of War, and I am not.
Okay.
So it was good fun. So continued to play some Gears of War 3. Jumped in on the big head mode this weekend, which was kind of dumb because it literally was just that. All your characters had big heads.
Yeah, they're like giant bobbleheads cruising around with chainsaws.
They had big heads and, for some reason, tiny voices. I'm not really sure why that works out.
It makes it funnier.
I guess. Yeah, so everybody sounded like chipmunks. And that was kind of entertaining, but not really. managed to chainsaw somebody who had the viral achievement, so now I have the viral achievement. That's a 50G viral achievement. That's kind of a lot.
You know anyway. What that means? I need to now chainsaw you.
No, I'm not going to let you.
You may not have a choice.
You're going to have to earn it.
I will earn it.
You have to earn it. so anyway, that was good fun. First time I've actually played multiplayer was just to jump in on the Big Head event. Because there's like an XP bonus for doing five events or something.
I was just going to ask him, why would you just be inspired for the Big Head event? But now it makes sense.
Yeah, there's like if you do the five events, you get – I think there's an achievement and an XP bonus for it. So I figured, what the heck, I'll jump in on the Big Head event.
Okay.
I apologize for the parade going through the top floor of my house at the moment.
You know what? It happens, especially in houses where there are children. Sometimes there are parades.
Sounds like a Paranormal Activity film.
Yeah. Great. It's something.
Yeah, it's something. What about there's another game on your list that it's on my list.
And, it's on my list.
It's on your list, Rich.
Oh, it's on everybody's list.
I believe,
list.
Though, on only – or so I should say on only one of these accounts, it is a demo, whereas the other two potentially are purchases.
Well, I demoed it. I didn't buy it.
Okay.
But I played the demo for Orcs Must Die as an exclamation point. It's good. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So it kind of felt like a little bit like the Fable 2 combat in that it's kind of hacking, slashing, shooting kind of thing. But yeah,
I'm going to talk right over you, Chris.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to reiterate the combat definitely is hack and slash. It doesn't feel like there's any true like depth to the sword or long range.
Yeah,
I think later you can
purchase upgrades to the sword and the crossbow later, but I don't know if any of those were in the demo.
Okay.
But you did have – so the crossbow had two fire modes. You had the primary fire mode, which just shot the arrows. And the secondary fire mode fired this kind of area effect sort of disorientation spell. So that was kind of – that worked.
Maybe we should talk about what this game actually is before we start getting into what
I said what it was.
Tower defense.
Well, that's what I was getting to, Greg.
Okay. Well, yeah, I figured people were probably scratching their head going – what game is this?
That's why this is the Overseas Connection. We confuse people. That's what we do. See, we're going to make it sound just interesting enough, but not give you any real information, so you've got to go find out for yourself.
Brilliant. All right.
Right?
Continue on.
So it's kind of got a Fable 2, 3 combat feel to it, hacking and slashing and shooting. But you add in the fact that all the baddies kind of follow one route to their goal, which is this rift thing. Which they don't really ever explain what that is, but maybe they do in the full version. And so you can build up defenses. You can build up spike floor traps and wall arrow traps and sticky floor things to help you kill them all. And so you have to kill them before they get to what you're defending. I assume later in the game there'll be some areas where there's more than one path.
Yes.
The two or three levels that I played for the demo all only had one path.
I saw one video they were doing kind of an interview with the guys that did this game, which is some of the outcast from the Halo Wars team. And
all right.
So they said that originally – well, on a side note, originally they were making this much more serious in terms of the look and the aesthetic of the game. And then they started to play around with the goofy-looking orcs. And they just fell in love with the aesthetic of the game because the orcs don't have the traditional mean, gruff-looking orc. It's much more comical, kind of cartoony, almost in some ways kind of to the way the orcs looked in Space Marine. And I know they were supposed to be a little more serious, but those orcs, to me, had a little comical look to them. Supposedly as you progress up the levels, Chris, you're going to see multiple entryways into the rift and you're going to have to defend them. And supposedly for every level, there's an upgrade to or a new defense item. So things like catapults that you can put down that when an orc travels over the catapult, it will launch them in a direction, and like you can launch them into a, you know, bottomless pit, or as one of the guys was pointing out, that you can also inadvertently, mistakenly, if you don't position the catapult correctly, launch the orcs right into the rift, which apparently somebody had done by mistake, and they just started throwing orcs into the very spot they weren't supposed to throw them. So, yeah. But
I thought it was quite nice because it's a third person, and it was a bit different for a tower defense-y type. Well, some of the traps as well, when you start building them up, they're quite mean. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
I like the arrows in the wall.
I love the arrows in the wall combined with the sticky floor trap. That was a nice combination. But I love the turn or the spin that they're putting on tower defense, especially with consoles, and I think it's a good call for consoles. Maybe not so much for the PC, since they have the precision of the mouse. They still can do a little more, you know, top-down, god-like tower defense stuff. But the whole third-person kind of action blend with tower defense really seems to work well. You know, giving yourself the ability to set up some tower defense, you know, points, but still having control of a character and or the emplacements and literally be able to take part in the action, I think just really works.
Yep.
So, now, let me ask you this. Rich, did you buy Orcs Must Die?
No, purely because I've got so much that I'm playing at the moment, and I'm loving everything else, so I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait till it goes on offer, but I think I will buy that.
I think all of us are in the same boat. Great game. Just came out at a horrible time. I mean, you know, just after Gears of War 3 comes out, just before Forza 4 comes out, Batman's around the corner. I mean, all these top-tier AAA titles surrounding this game, I just don't see how they thought this would be a good time to release. Maybe they didn't have a choice. Maybe Microsoft said, you know what, sorry, you're going to have to release here. But I hope it does go on sale sometime in the near future, because I certainly will purchase it. And even maybe when it slows down, I'll give it a buy. Hopefully I don't forget about it by then, though. Anyway, Chris, was there anything else on your list?
Nope.
No. All right. Mr. Primrose, I see a long list of games on your list.
Oh, yeah. I've been putting some hours in there.
Some craziness
going on. I'm back into it. I'm settled in this new gaff, and full-time gaming. Loving it.
Full-time gaming. Let's hear about it.
Yeah, okay, so did a few demos. I'll whip through some quick ones. I played Space Channel 5. Anybody heard of that?
Arcade game? I've heard of it. I had no desire to play it.
It was a laugh.
I've seen the cover of it. It looked like a dancing game. Maybe I misunderstood.
It was, but it's that cheesy. It's funny. It's like Austin Powers on Xbox Live. It's great. I'd say check it out just to try it. It's really simple. But, 5 minutes, blast. Kids liked it. Good. Then I tried the demo for El Shaddai.
Yeah.
I really want to love this game because it looks stunning. I love the style of it. It looks beautiful. I like the combat in it. That was great. I just got really frustrated with the platforming because a lot of the environment that you're in is stylistically really vague. Mm-hmm. You can't see the edges of platforms that you're jumping off. Little steps, lips on steps that you would normally be able to see quite easily in a 3D platformer, you can't see because of the way they've styled the graphics. It's a really great game, but I found myself a lot of the time, when I'm in the flow doing all of the combat and everything, and then I was meant to be going on like a run, jumping over various things, you'd do a chain and say two jumps, and then you'd be frustrated because there was something on the ceiling that you didn't quite see because it's quite vague that just, you know, put you off your stride and you'd fall down a hole and stuff. But overall, I really did like the look of it.
Now, I don't know this will sway you at all, Rich, but one of the things that I do know is the demo level, in particular the third-person one that you're talking about, is only kind of a snippet or a small part of the overall game. And supposedly the game is like a blend of a lot of different genres. I mean, there's actually like a driving level. There's a lot of 2D platforming levels to the game. Yeah. And so it has all these different kind of levels and mechanics that they intertwine and intermix. But I agree with you. that third person platforming level was brutal for the very fact you could never judge really that well where you would be landing or how far you really needed to be jumping.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that they made that the level to demo, because I think there probably were better levels, especially the 2D side-scrolling one, that could have been the sole level they showed off and got people interested. But, yeah, it's a no-buy for that very reason, but somebody else may want to give it a try because it certainly is not the only kind of gameplay in the game. Anyway, yeah. Continue on.
So then having let J-Boy-P, my son, have a go at Star Wars Force Unleashed 2, the demo. And he absolutely loved it because I think he's about ready to step up and do a few proper games. And it's 12 rated, so it wasn't too gruesome. There's nothing brutal in it. So I thought, I'm going to get him the first one on the cheap. So I went on the old Amazon and got it down. And picked it up for a fiver. So that was nice and cheap. And we've been playing that, working through it together. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I like it. The combat's really good in it. I think you can tell where they tuned it up into to make it slightly better. And there's just a few things that I found frustrating with the platforming and the activation of certain things where you've got to use your force powers and stuff and it's just not giving you enough direction as to what you're doing. And that's not just because my lad's playing it, it's just because I'm a bit thick. Really enjoying it. It's good. Okay. And even the quick time events, I don't mind them, you know, when you're battling the boss. Sometimes it's quite a relief, actually, when you know you've not got to go through the chore of learning patterns and stuff of where these big bosses are going to shoot stuff. As long as you hack it a bit, then you're all right. So, yeah, that was good. Been enjoying that. And then been playing a couple of what we'd call AAA games, really. Got From Love Film Deus Ex, Human Revolution.
Yes.
I've heard lots of people talking about this and saying that the best way to play it is stealth and all of that lot. I'll equate it to when I played Splinter Cell Conviction, where I consider myself to be successful in stealth by dodging, say, a security camera.
Right.
And then shooting the shit out of a room. That's me being successful in stealth.
Rich, you and I play the same way.
So I'm playing that game and I'm really enjoying it. You can play it as a shooter. Yeah. I don't care what anybody says. Everybody was saying that, you know, if you put your head above the thing and start shooting at everybody, then you're soon going to die. No, you're not, because what you've got in this game is ducks. So what I tend to do, my tactics have been to unleash hell on a room and then let all of the security guards come looking and then just tuck myself away in a little air duct, and then I will then be confronted with various groins that can't shoot me and I can shoot them. So there's lots of security guards and various enemies that have been getting their knackers blown off by me. And I've been thoroughly enjoying that. Okay. And I like the story of it. Really like this story. It's the production on it as well. You know, the intro and all of that lot. Right. It's something that's I'm wanting to sit down and watch the cutscenes and get into them. And something as well. I've got to let you into this. Mother Dugra. You know, my mum's now in our household. I've found a new pastime for her. She's now getting into watching me playing games. It started with Gears of War 3. She got totally engrossed in the story of that, and she was really pissed off when I played the end of it at about 1 o'clock in the morning when she went up. I told her the next day that I'd finished it, and then I had to go through what happened and everything.
Enough
with the
to
story
get you
and
some
that
hole in your Christmas stocking right there.
Yeah, man. She's now taken to being a spectator when I'm playing video games. Tonight we was doing a bit of an arena battle on Rage, but we'll get onto that in a minute. Deus Ex, really enjoying it.
Do you think you're going to hang on to Deus Ex long enough for the DLC coming up?
I suspect so, because the way that I'm playing it at the moment, Deus Ex basically did get it's been sidelined. Although okay. That's not taking anything away from the game. I know that, you know, I've got that for as long as I want, and I know that I've got Rage as well, but Rage was shiny, new, and I put it in, and yeah, that's been everything I expected from it. I know last week I was saying I was a bit in trepidation of the fact that Joystick had put the kibosh on it with this, is it Arthur Gize's review of it?
Right.
I looked into a bit of the background of him. Apparently he's a bit of a controversial figure anyway, because he's a stick in the mud when it comes to reviews, as far as pointage is concerned. And he's renowned for driving down Metacritic scores. But, I'm certainly not disappointed with the fact that I was talking it up, because I really am enjoying it. It's a great game.
It is fun.
Or jump in on it and have a chat.
I was just going to say, it's the only game I played over the weekend other than the Orcs Must Die demo last week. And, you know, it still has its quirks. It's still not a perfect game. And I think, you know, I've narrowed down to my issue with Rage is that it presents this open world, but in the reality, even as I've gotten into some of the more open areas, it still feels like I'm always being led down a path and or in a very linear corridor shooter, which, I mean, that's kind of id Software in general with their games. I know a lot of people said, oh, well, the driving kind of really opens up as you get into the latter part of the game, and you now can take on other missions if you want. And I've started to see that, and so maybe that'll help break some of the feeling. But it still feels like whenever you get a mission, it's, you know, go from here to point A, and point A is more or less a pretty linear path to that point A. And then you get out of your dune buggy or whatever, and then you go into the hideout or wherever you're going, and it's going to be, again, a point A to point B shooter. You get to the exit, you get to zip line back to the buggy, and you're done. And that has been the formula so far.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, from what I've seen of it, they've done a very good job of dispersing and probably taking away some of their old traits in making games, which probably would be just doing corridor shooters where you're just walking through. And the way they've done it quite cleverly is by inserting the driving and so on, and then also putting in a multitude of mini games, which I found to be quite entertaining as well. They seem to be scattered around all over the place. I think it's very clever how they've also thrown in like arena style battles and stuff. Something, I mean, we could knock that and say that it is quite narrow and so on, but then you could probably have said the same thing about Borderlands a couple of years ago. But because they put all of the point scoring tree elements and adding to skills, then it was getting props for being a really good RPG-like shooter. So,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'll take this because of the fact that, A, it's a gorgeous-looking game.
Yes.
And I don't care what anybody says about the pop-in and all of this lot, because, it's still a beautiful game. And the speed and the 60 frames per second, and what I've seen as being one of the most intelligent and challenging AIs in the enemies.
Yes, yes.
Really, really good for the especially on them open arena type areas. You're strafing around trying to get these guys while they're running at you, and it is really a challenge. It's good, and I mean I stuck it on hard from the start, and that was just going on what I was playing at the demo Eurogamer. Because I was seeing few and far between enemies coming out. So I thought, well, I'll have a bash on it on hard and just see what it's like. And it's really just been nice. It's been, and it does say, I think it says when you put it on the hard, this is the way it should be played or something daft like that. But, yeah, good. Definitely. And it's been just like Gears of War. As soon as I stuck it in, I've got to get to the end of this campaign. I like the way that it does guide you to what your goal is. You've got a simple way of selecting what you want to do next. You know quite loosely what the main storyline is and which train you should be following as far as the missions are concerned. So Yeah, and I mean, that's something to be said for Deus Ex as well. I think that's quite good the way that they've set that up as well. So yeah, it's not an open world game, but I think a lot of them out there at the moment aren't. And, you know,
No, that's true.
I think
that's
I said the same about Mafia 2, and I think as long as you put the variety of stuff into the game and don't just, if this was just a first person shooter for however many, I mean, I've played about 3 hours of it up to now, then yeah, I probably would be getting bored of it. Like the Duke Nukem and all that lot when everybody was like slagging that off. But I think he'd have done a good job of going back to the drawing board, coming up with some new ideas and throwing them into the mix. And no, it's not going to get Game of the Year, but I tell you what, it's, by the end of the year, it's probably going to be one of the most enjoyable games I've played.
Okay. Definitely. That's pretty fair. You know, I guess, you know, I know I'm coming across a little negative on the game. I really enjoy Rage. So to anybody, I would say it absolutely is worth picking up and or at least giving it a rent to see if you might like it. It is gorgeous. It is fast, great gunplay. But, you know, I do see the quirks with it or the issues, if you will, that I have with it. One issue I wanted to ask you about, Rich, because you touched on it like it was something that you were enjoying, but I'm actually having a very difficult time with, and that is the story, because I feel – that's one place it really fell down on this game. I don't feel like there is really any true story to be following. You know, you are this, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, survivor. Well, it's not really a lack of a better way to put it. It is what it is. You know, you are the survivor of this capsule of supposed, you know, I guess scientific minds or soldiers to carry on the human race in the future. And something goes, of course, horribly wrong with a meteor that hits Earth. And this is nothing that's earth-shattering or spoilers because they show all this in any of the trailers.
I believe that if a meteor were to strike the Earth, it may well indeed be earth-shattering.
I will tell you one of the consequences of a meteor crashing into Earth, because I noticed this just today. when you've played the game for about an hour, you'll realize there's two settlements which you can basically call home whenever you want. You can travel from one to the other. Now, something really strange has happened when this meteor's hit Earth, because one town's inhabited by Americans, and then you go up the road to the other town, which is called Wellstrings, which is probably about a 5-minute drive away,
mm-hmm.
and everybody in that town's Australian.
Yeah, so there was a
what the hell? What the hell happened to the geography of the planet to make everybody come together like that?
Apparently, the meteor hit just right to where it folded continents in half, tacoed the planet basically, and now Australia and the United States are just, you know, side by side. But yeah, no. So the story, but after that point of you emerging from the vault, similar to Fallout 3,
mm-hmm.
but unlike Fallout 3. There's no like, you need to go do this. You know, you don't have that direction. You know, the story kind of picks up with some NPCs kind of giving you some direction and commenting on you. But there's never, and even to this point, I still haven't had somebody come to me and say, this is kind of like your purpose. And, you know, I realize, you know, okay, not everything in life always has a purpose. But for a video game, I think it should. I think for a video game story or a movie story, there needs to be a point. And so far, that's the one thing I'm missing from the Rage storyline is, what's the point of all this? Is it just that I awaken and that's it? You know, I'm just going to go off and do jobs? Okay.
We could be sitting there in two weeks' time and be saying it was a very good way of doing it or a very bad way of doing it. Because I don't quite know at the minute. But what I'm seeing at the moment is, if you listen to things that are being said over microphones and stuff in the background, they are laying out like a story, and I'm not going to spoil anything. So you are getting hints at what's going on. And I think if it is very clever, then I'm going to be impressed by it, whereby you will get a full goal, but you're going to be a certain amount of hours in. What I'm seeing at the moment is that the time that I'm using at the moment is to basically get more like an RPG type thing, almost grinding doing some races, getting me, because there is, that's another thing that we didn't talk about, is there's a racing aspect to it as well, which is not just driving around the open world. You can actually set yourself up on races, and there's a currency involved in this. So you've got certificates that you can earn, and they can be solely spent on your car, on upgrading your car.
Right.
And then you've also got the money currency that's involved, where you can go and get your guns and upgrade your guns. And something else to be said about it as well, it's got a really nice diverse way of purchasing weapons and various explosives and stuff like that, which it's not, it's got a very basic way of mixing stuff together. It's like they've took like a, said, here's a bit of a learner type RPG thing. You don't have to know how to mix five different herbs together to get one spell. We will tell you how you do that. This is what you can make with it, and it'll automatically sort everything out. The inventory system's very good as well, because it takes all the junk that you've got and you've collected throughout the level, and it'll stick it in just a couple of piles and say, this is stuff you do not need. Sell it. So it is probably basic, and maybe this story might end up being, I mean, because I was never impressed with Borderlands, but I did like the way it just dragged you along at a gentle pace and got you to the end of the story. And I think you're probably going to end up with something like that. But I mean, it's got some quite promising things that are going off in the background when you're listening, when you go and talk to some of the guys that have not got missions or anything. They'll go into conversations with you and tell you about certain things that are going off. I mean, at the moment, I'm just starting to learn about a mineral that's involved in the planet and so on. And yeah, there's a few different aspects that are starting to unfold. That
there definitely is hints at additional story elements, but it certainly isn't. It's just not the best crafted way to tell a game story.
No.
Amazingly. Even with that, it still is a lot of fun and a good playthrough, and I would still recommend anybody check it out, because the gunplay and graphically it is beautiful, and audio-wise, we haven't even really touched on the audio, but it has great audio in this game, especially if you put on like a nice 5.1 or 7.1 headset. You can really just hear every little thing, and it is awesome to behold. Anyway. That's it. I think that covers me as well. So why don't we jump out from here, and we'll hit the old new releases. All right. So new releases this week. Out on the Wii, we've got Dance Dance Revolution 2. We've got Go Vacation and Rune Factory, Tides of Destiny, Skylanders, Spyro's Adventure Starter Pack, and Wipeout 2, the game, all hitting the retail shelves. And moving over to the PS Triple, retail shelves this week see Ace Combat Assault Horizon hit the shelves, as well as Dead Rising 2 Off the Record, Red Dead Redemption Game of the Year Edition, Rune Factory Tides of Destiny, Skylanders Spyro's Adventure Starter Pack, and Wipeout 2, the game, also makes its way onto the PS3 retail shelves. On the PSN front, the big kickoff for their October gameplay campaign is here, and the King of Fighters 96 comes out. We've got Metal Slug 2 coming out. Payday the Heist is apparently finally making its way out this week. And Sideway New York. And last but not least, XS Junior League Football, all coming to PSN this week. A few demos are also hitting the PSN. We've got the Cursed Crusade, NBA Jam On Fire Edition, and Star Drone. So if you are hankering for those demos, and last but not least, Dragon Age 2 Mark of the Assassin coming out on the DLC front. Moving over to the Xbox 360 on the retail shelves, Ace Combat Assault Horizon, Dead Rising 2 Off the Record, and Forza Motorsport 4. I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. Probably something even more people are looking forward to, even more than Forza 4. Connectimals, now with bears. Yeah, you heard me.
Hey, hey, hey.
Nice. Michael Phelps Push the Limit. Yeah, it's another Kinect game. Yeah, you guys are excited, I can tell. Red Dead Redemption Game of the Year Edition, Sesame Street Once Upon a Monster, great kids title, Rich. Huh?
Hmm. Is that one you need Kinect for?
It is. It is. I don't know that JP would actually like it, though. Might be yeah. too young for him. Who knows? Skylanders, Spyro Adventures, Starter Pack, and Wipeout 2, the game, all on the retail shelves. Xbox Live Arcade this week. You've got Guardian Heroes, and apparently they are releasing digitally Kinectimals now with bears. So you don't even have to go to the store to pick it up. Demos this week on Xbox Live Arcade. You've got The Cursed Crusade and NBA Jam On Fire Edition. And DLC for the week, of course, Dragon Age 2, Mark of the Assassin. And a few deals of the weeks. Shadow Complex, Saints Row 2, Saints Row 2 Ultor Exposed, and also Saints Row 2 Corporate Warfare, all getting basically the half-off treatment. And last but not least, Perfect Dark, the original Perfect Dark game. It's now half-off, only 400 points. So that's the HDing of Perfect Dark.
Is that not a bit of a stinker? I remember that.
I've never really loved the Perfect Dark games, but I mean, Perfect Dark back in the day was really popular, but I don't know that it translated terribly well to modern times. But hey, that's it for your new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, so news time. News quiz coming back, returning this week. I know you, so much excitement in the air. Chris, I know you especially were excited for the news quiz to come back.
Yes, I am.
I can hear it right in your voice. Rich, are you excited? Are you excited to take the first question?
I can't wait. I need to redeem myself from last week because I was cack.
All right, well, here you go, Rich.
Somebody making me a cocktail in the background.
Yes.
Yeah, hold on.
Cocktail. You're going to need it. Cocktails are important.
I'll have a Singapore sling.
Singapore sling. Nice. Nice. I like it. What game recently detailed its now announced co-op multiplayer? Is it A, Prey 2, or is it B, Mass Effect 3, or C, Max Payne 3?
Oh, there's been lots of news out about Max Payne recently. I'm going to go for Max Payne.
Well, you would be wrong. It is, in fact, Mass Effect 3.
Oh,
yes,
really?
The multiplayer will be sectioned off into a bonus campaign entitled Galaxy at War. Basically, from the Mass Effect 3 forums, you can go there right now and look at it if you want. It says you're going to be able to choose from a variety of classes and races from an elite special forces squad and combine their weapons, powers, and abilities to devastating effect as they fight together to liberate key territories from enemy control. And this is quoted from Chris Priestley of BioWare. The optional campaign will also have a direct impact on the outcome of the single-player campaign, giving players an alternative method for achieving ultimate victory against the greatest threat mankind and the entire galaxy has ever faced. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, kind of craziness. They went on with a little more of the PR stuff here, so I'll just read that out real fast because I know a lot of people are going to be interested to hear this. This mode will measure Shepard's galactic readiness level or his ability to apply every possible asset, people, weapons, resources, armies, fleets, in the final battle against the Reapers. But that's not all. The multiplayer isn't the only way to influence a single-player campaign. BioWare will announce several other new methods and interfaces, I'm guessing Facebook, with which they will be able to alter the single player, all entirely optional, promising it is still possible to achieve the optimal complete ending of the game through single player alone.
Is this actually going to mean that you can go digging for minerals on your iPhone?
It could very well possibly be. I mean, I'm kind of loosely excited for the way they're handling the multiplayer because it's a co-op. I mean, it sounds Horde-like. You know, I kind of hate using that term now because it's so overused, but it seems like it's some type of Horde mode where, you know, you're basically going to get together with a few of your buddies. My guess is a four-man squad and you'll go forward and basically take certain key elements in the story, and that'll translate out into maybe making the single player campaign, giving Shepard some extra resources, or maybe making a planet accessible to him, that kind of thing. But that's kind of it's an interesting spin on multiplayer. So
all I've got to say is, if you're loosely excited, you need to get yourself to the toilet.
Okay, let's move on to the next question. Mr. Christopher Matthew, are you ready?
Ready.
All right, here you
Gladiators
go.
Gladiators ready.
This is right up your alley, Chris. Apple question. Steve Jobs passing away October 5th. Basically had us all reflecting. He died at age 56, but was quite accomplished in his career. And here's the question to you. What is the first computer he helped launch with Steve Wozniak in 1976? Was it the Apple IE, the Apple II, or the Apple Macintosh?
The Apple – say my choices again. I'm sorry.
It was the Apple IE, the Apple II, or Apple Macintosh?
I'm going to go with Apple II.
Can I steal?
You would be correct. It is the Apple II. Steve Jobs, the mastermind behind Apple's iPhone, iPad, iPod, iMac, iTunes, iEverything, was co-founder of Apple Computer in 1976. And with his childhood friend Steve Wozniak, they marketed what was considered the world's first successful personal computer, the Apple II.
Yes.
Nicely done. All right, Mr. Primrose. You are up next. Okay, with Forza 4 right around the corner, Gran Turismo 5 has launched an update.
Right around the corner.
What update number is this for GT5? Is it A, GT5 Spec 1.5, GT5 Spec 2.0, or GT5 Spec 3.5?
Hold on, just let me turn my PlayStation 3 on that I haven't got. when was the last time I played Gran Turismo? PlayStation 1? What was the specs again? Spec what?
1.5, 2.0, or 3.5?
3.5. No, how many bloody updates did they want?
They've only got to 2.0. I'm sorry, Rich.
Oh,
yep. Update 2.0 includes simplified interior view added to all standard cars, which was missing before. User control of the weather change feature. Added a setting sheet feature allowing you to save multiple car settings. Spec 2.0 opening movie. Of course, every update needs an opening movie. Improved UI usability and response. Replay, rewind, fast forward. The ability to save during a race. Online lounge expansion. Expansion of the B-Spec remote race. You can play from GT.com. It's basically a graph now displays changes in the race rankings. It's exciting stuff. Expanded photo travel features. They added a NASCAR pit scene stage to photo travel. They even added 11 2011 modeled NASCAR race cars. Let's say that three times fast. They did add the Nissan GTR N24. And they improved some physics and AI and some wheel support, that kind of thing, and maybe some other little tweaks and twizzles. But, yeah, that's it. GT5 2.0. Just trying to hold off Forza 4. Chris, let's move on to your question. Just how long should you expect to play Uncharted 3 single-player campaign? Is it A, 6 to 7 hours, B, 8 to 9 hours, or C, 10 to 11 hours.
So 6 to 7.
8 to 9 or 10 to 11.
8 to 9.
Wow, Chris on fire. On
fire.
Yes, Games Radar Nathan Irvine has been tweeting about the title, and he said that basically over the weekend, finished it, and it was about 8 to 9 hours of solid play. He added, some of the set pieces in it are jaw-dropping. Yes.
That was me dropping my jaw.
Well done. Rich, time for redemption. Here we go. What upcoming popular game is boasting an optional high-res texture pack for consoles? Is it A, Skyrim, B, Modern Warfare 3, or C, Battlefield 3?
How would you get that? What is that? Do you buy it as DLC? What?
I'll give you a hint. It's on the discs.
It's on the discs. Skyrim.
Ah, oh, Rich. Battlefield 3.
Discs? Yeah. What do you mean discs? Got more than one disc.
Shipping on two discs on the 360. It? Yes. So Battlefield 3 ships on two discs. And basically, disc one features the multiplayer and co-op levels and HD installation content, and disc two features the superb single-player campaign. But basically, on disc two, there is going to be a high-res texture pack that as long as you install disc two, it will pull and automatically use those texture packs. It is also going to be available on the PS3, so those owners that install or do the optional install of Battlefield 3 on the PS3, they'll also be taking advantage of the high-res texture packs. So what you've been seeing in the beta will look much prettier.
Take that, PC boys.
Yeah. So, Chris, you are on to your next question. With Wii sales, I can't even say this one. This is going to be a tough one, Chris. With Wii sales struggling, Nintendo has announced a new bundle set to launch on October 23rd in the U.S. It is going to include a black Wii Remote plus controller and black Nunchuck controller. And what are the following games? Is it going to be A, the new Super Mario Bros. Wii game and Super Mario Galaxy soundtrack? Is it B, the new Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword and Metroid Other M with Metroid soundtrack? Or C, is it going to be Wii Sports, Wii Sports Resort, and Wii Music?
Mario.
You would indeed be correct. Chris, you are just, I mean...
Well, I actually read something about this because rumors have it that this new SKU is going to lose GameCube support. Which sounds like a blunder to me.
Yeah.
Because the only reason, now I already own a Wii, so they're not trying to market to me, clearly. But the only reason I bought a Wii is because I figured if it plays GameCube games, then I don't have to go find an old GameCube.
But you know what? That's sound logic. And Chris, way to stay on top of, see, this is what happens when you read the news.
Yeah.
The bundle is also basically only coming out in the U.S. as far as I know. And it's coming out at a retail price of $149.99.
Bothered. Are we bothered? We're not bothered over it.
Not really.
Not bothered.
Rich, this one, again, you're getting some tough questions, buddy.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah. Platforms I don't own. Yeah.
This could potentially, again, fall in that realm.
Because Greg doesn't like you.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I love you, Rich.
This one
you just might get. What territory is the uber niche Valkyria Chronicles 3 not coming to? Is it not coming to Europe? Is it not coming to the U.S.? Or is it not coming to the U.S. and Europe? Now, mind you, it has already released in Japan.
Right. You see, I knew there was trouble on the horizon with this question when you said uber niche, as in not many people fucking play it, for starters, right? So, Right, okay. Is this a sword and slashing thing?
It is a strategy RTS.
Turn-based RTS,
yes.
A turn-based RTS? Wait,
is it turn-based or is it real-time? It can't be one.
Sorry, it is turn-based. It is not real-time.
That's nail number two in the coffin of this question for me. So basically, I'm taking a guess again. I'd say the second answer. Whatever that was.
Damn it, Rich. I really thought you were going to get this.
Well played, Rich.
I don't know this.
It is, unfortunately, Sega is not planning to localize the third game in North America or Europe. When asked, the game would be maybe put out as a downloadable title for the upcoming PlayStation Vita system. Sega basically said the company would make a concrete decision the next time it meets with Sony. Probably a big part of this is the fact that Valkyria Chronicles 3 so far has only sold 102,000 units. So, and that was back in January 24th of this year.
Not wanting to repeat myself, but bothered.
Yeah. Hey, this could be something that all 360 owners would be interested in, especially if you have a new 360S unit. It has been now announced that later this month, Chris, the 320 gigabyte hard drive for the new 360 is going to be available to buy separately.
Mm.
So,
Xbox question for Chris.
Yes, yeah, of course.
I see. Right, okay.
Chris, what game is going to be included as a downloadable code with the new 320 gigabyte SKU? Or, sorry, not SKU, with the 320 gigabyte hard drive. Is it A, Halo Reach, B, Alan Wake, or C, Lego Star Wars 3 Clone Wars?
Star Wars.
Yeah, Chris, again, en fuego. Maybe that was the obvious choice. I don't know. But.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Well, my logic is probably flawed, but since they have the Star Wars coming out with the Star Wars thing, I don't know. Alan Wake didn't seem like a good choice, and Halo Reach is already available in games on demand. I don't know. It just didn't seem.
That was good logic. That works for me. Hey, later this month, the 320 gigabyte hard drive is going to be available for $129.99. It will include
an
Xbox Live code for Star Wars Lego Star Wars 3 Clone Wars, and is going to be compatible only with the Xbox 360S models. So there. By the way, if you live in Japan, Saudi Arabia, Slovakia, and the UAE territories, you do not get the game.
Yeah. You know what UAE stands for, Greg?
United Arab Emirates.
Very good. I just want to make sure.
I'm on top of it today. Almost as on top of it as you are. Rich, I had to laugh because your final question, Rich, and it's just because you can blame this squarely on Mike. Squarely on Mike, because had he been here, the questions would have had a different ordering. But because he bowed out due to his headache, you ended up miraculously getting all of the Sony questions.
Oh, this one's about Kinect.
No.
I ain't got one of them.
Last question.
Go on.
With the Vita launch just around the corner.
Oh, Vita. It's not even out yet. Yeah, go on, carry on.
Many are wondering just how much the average Vita game will actually cost. So here's the question to you, and I just want you to go with your gut based off of the responses I've given here.
Our choices.
Is it going to be A, $30 to $40? Will the average game price be maybe B, $50 to $60? Or C, is it going to be, $30 to $70? Your guess is still good as ours.
What, so I could say $30 to $70, and then that would cover one of the prices you've already said anyway?
This is true.
Technically all of them.
So by process of elimination, then, it must be the first one.
This is why we were able to get you guys out of our country.
I don't care. I'm not bothered. You're talking in dollars. That's right. Old money. That's not proper currency.
Yeah,
right, so, do you know how he wants to buy your birthday present with that funny money?
You see, it's funny that you say that the dollar's not proper currency because when Great Britain needs to purchase oil from OPEC, they have to purchase dollars from the United States to pay for the oil with. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, let me just wrap this story.
Yeah, but we invented gold.
You invented gold.
Yeah, you did.
We also invented diamonds.
You invented gold teeth, maybe.
worst.
Oh, brilliant.
We don't have gold teeth. We have coal teeth. We just have coal in our teeth.
Rich, more importantly to your teeth issue.
Yeah.
Famitsu basically released out a bunch of information on a bunch of the different games and how much they're costing over in Japan. So they basically have broken it down into U.S. dollars to give you kind of a relative idea. Now, you have to keep in mind the exchange rate and the economy are certainly going to make these prices differing even beyond what they're doing here. But
so it's not even a proper question then? It's irrelevant because he's not even out yet.
It's rich.
$5 by the time this thing comes out.
I tried to make it as easy as possible for you, Rich. I gave you an answer that covered everything.
Shit, man. Where's Duke when I need him? Can I hire him for a rant? It's fucking ridiculous.
You know, now you know how I felt when I went on the Veteran Gamers and tried to take Stu's ridiculous quiz.
Jeez, I won that.
More importantly, the Uncharted Golden Abyss game looks like it's going to be coming anywhere from $78 to $63, depending on the exchange rate. Ridge Racer comes in and basically being priced in at $39 and $35, respectively. If you want to take that variation. And then Katamari No Vita is coming in at a price point that they're thinking is going to estimate in about $52. And that actually is for the downloadable version of the game. So, yeah. Again, your guess as good as ours. I have a feeling they're going to be coming in at full retail price of what we're seeing with console games, which is going to be somewhere between $50 to $60. But hey. Let's get off the news quiz because, Rich, I love
– oh, fuck for that.
All right. That's it. We're going to the break.
I believe Rich is dead.
I think Rich hates me now. But when we come back from the break, we've got community mailbag, feedback, and maybe a question of the week if we can actually come to consensus.
I think it's more that Rich just hates you.
Life's funny, the way it throws stuff at you. Just when you think you've got it made and everything's just hunky-dory, something happens. You kind of have to roll with it. But all around the world, kids are dealt some pretty rough cards from time to time, and they can't just roll with it. Cancer doesn't just up and go away. Serious injuries don't just heal themselves. Fortunately, when things get serious for kids, there's a Children's Miracle Network hospital waiting to help. The third annual Extra Life 24-Hour Video Game Marathon provides direct support for the Children's Miracle Network Hospital in your town. And we need your help to ensure local kids have the best care and equipment standing by, just in case life throws itself in harm's way.
Visit tinyurl.com/VGHubTeam2011 to find out how you can help make a difference by sponsoring or joining your friends at the sites and shows of VGHub.net in this October's Extra Life Marathon. Thank you.
Play games, yo kids.
The mail! Get the mail, Potter. Get the mail, Pip. Get any mail for us.
All right, we're back from the break. Rich, hold on. Pipe down. Because it's time we cover the question of the week.
I'm just so angry.
I know. I know you're still angry. You got to breathe in the good air.
Well, there's only one thing to do in the UK when you're angry. You got to go smash some shop windows and get yourself some free kit.
This is true. This you is could true. Start a riot. Greg DeLacy caused riot in the UK. I actually might take some pride in that. All right. Question of the week for show 137. How much time is good enough or long enough in terms of announcing and leading up to and hype for a game? So, you know, we had the Syndicate, which came out of nowhere 6 months. It's going to be out in, what, January? And, you know,
and it looks really good.
It looks polished, but I mean, is that maybe too short? Because now suddenly, when I see that happen, to me, that's like a little red flag. It's like, okay, why the hell have you been hiding this game for so long and you're just throwing it out there suddenly? It kind of scares me a little bit with Syndicate, to be honest. But I'm hoping I'm completely going to be proven wrong. So, you know, is 6 months good enough? Is a year good? You know, is 2 years too much? I mean, you know, they announced, the, you know, some of the Halo games a good 2 years in advance, and it feels such a long wait. Yeah, Bioshock Infinite, another game. It's so long now that I almost have kind of lost interest. I hear stuff about Bioshock Infinite now. I'm like, I'll wait for when the game comes out. So I'm kind of in line with a year is right about the right time. You know, you get that announcement, you get a release trailer that everybody drools over, and then maybe you go for, say, 4 or 5 months, and then you start seeing some good information start coming forward, some gameplay, and then you get a demo, say, 3 months out from the game release, you know, which is a hands-on developer demo where, you know, you basically just get to see a trailer of it, but the build-up seems like it's a good flow.
I think 3 months is too long for a demo.
Okay.
People lose interest.
Fair enough.
And get square asses.
Square asses. That's a horrible thing to have. Chris, what do you think, though? What would be a proper time frame then for you from announcement to release?
Well, I think it depends on the type of title. So what I mean by that
is... try and dance around this one.
No. Just listen. So here's what I'm saying. I think if it's a new IP, it needs to have a little bit of lead up. Just build up some excitement and then put the game out there while people are curious. Because if you leave it out there too long, then more and more information gets out and people are not going to be curious. However, if it's a sequel to an established IP, say for instance the last chapter in the Gears of War saga, you want to start building that up early. Like you almost want to announce that one as soon as you drop, the previous one. Or give them like the after the credits little teaser or something. Just because there's fans out there that you hit them as soon as they're wanting more and you kind of keep their attention. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I think that
movie approach, like with the Avengers movie coming up, it's been teased in all these other movies at the very end, the cameo trailers. Okay.
Yeah. And you just kind of keep their, you always leave them wanting more and then you just give them just a little bit.
Give them a little bit.
Throw breadcrumbs out there, you know?
I'd like to fly the flag for Mike here because I'd say I think it depends on the package that you're presenting. But if it's something along the lines of a very high-end story-driven game, then you want your Rockstar approach.
Where you don't want to get your package out there too early.
Exactly. So, give it a short lead time, but when you're giving the adverts out, just 1-2 minutes, boof. Don't concentrate on showing gameplay and what aspects of the gameplay they are. If you've got a solid game like a Rockstar game, then just do it in them little hits like you do. But then if you've got something along the lines of a Call of Duty, then you've got to trickle everything out throughout the year. I mean, the formula that they've got now at Activision for Modern Warfare is a very good one. Get loads of different aspects of the multiplayer out. You start off with your little blipvert, which has got no information whatsoever, but it gets everybody riled up. Then start trickling out information about what the multiplayer is. And then at the very last breath, you start giving them a little bit of an idea about what the campaign's about. So, that's very good. I mean, the two-year thing, as far as I'm concerned, when I hear a game's like 2 years out, it's like Skyrim, there was a lot of stuff coming out an absolute age ago. Well, it was probably, over a year, wasn't it?
Right.
And at that stage, I had no interest whatsoever. And then you just pick and choose what you watch anyway. And it's not as if they can batter you with it. You just hear it. For people like us gamers, we'll just pick up the chatter on podcasts and so on. Better, well-established ones where they've got actual access to the developers.
It's true.
What's going on? It's when it's that far away, it's pick and choose the information. I mean, it's like Skyrim. I think I probably only got interested in that 6 months ago or so. And then even then, it's only now when we're running up to Eurogamer that I really did take quite a big interest in it. But yeah.
Okay. All right. Chris, why don't we chime in with the forum, see what they had to say.
Let's see what the forum had to say. Shinyverse says, I think it best when games are announced at E3 or PAX or some similar event. I believe the announcement of a game usually works best if it's somewhere between 6 months to a year from the release date. I'm not too fond of surprise announcements. They seem as if someone in the PR department dropped the ball and forgot to announce the game previously, or that the publisher is trying to rush a game to market.
Yeah, I just see that it's one. Like, oh shit, like, we forgot to announce the game.
This game releases Tuesday. We should probably put a commercial out there.
Hey, I'll tell you, the one that came across as that this year was Dead Island, because they had such a response to that advert, and then it was like, oh shit, we've got to do some proper PR on this game.
They put out that advert, and it was like, oh, crap, we actually need to make the game look somewhat like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spock says, I tend to agree with Shiny for the most part. As a gaming consumer, I do need some lead time, maybe not as long for sequels. Prequels that are already must-buy. But new titles that no one has any pre-built desire for, I think, need about a year.
Okay.
Software houses need to be mindful not to announce too early if they aren't sure of the integrity of the software. It is quite irritating if we are teased about the newest game X coming November 2012 and then find it really isn't until the next year.
Oh, Final Fantasy 13.
Duke Nukem.
Yeah. All of them.
I know, however, it can be tough to have a title completely ready on a promised date. Sometimes a juggling act because software and other QA testing can pop up bugs unexpectedly. Often I've heard that software providers do a certain amount of testing and then forward the final product to the public at large, knowing more bugs will be found in the wilds of real-world usage. Whoa. The real world almost always creates scenarios that even the most diligent QA analyst cannot dream up. Then they send out patches as they pop up. I'd rather be as bug-free as possible before they announce the official release, but whatever time frame is put out, it isn't cool to set a date and then keep moving it. So in other words, deliver when you say you're going to deliver.
Yeah. No, I think
Ghost Recon Future Soldier.
Yeah. That was a painful one because I was really looking forward to that. And then they're just like, no, not till next year.
Never mind.
Then there's that other game. What was it? I can't – the name's escaping me. But the one with the guys that made Eco. It's the Griffin Bird thing.
Last Guardian.
Thank you. Yeah. That's not a game that
they've – thing.
Yeah. They haven't promised a release date. But – it's like they made this big announcement, they show this grandiose trailer, and then we just haven't seen anything. And it just, I mean, that's a case of me saying it's been too long. You announced way too early because we should be getting some kind of tidbit. Something to hold us over. Anyway, continue on. Sorry.
And Spitfire Ian, ever the confrontationalist, says, I can't argue with Shiny or Spock, really. I like about 6 months lead time, just enough for those trailers to get the juices flowing, but not long enough that I get bored with the hype.
Nicely said.
Well done.
Rich, we had some tweets.
We did, indeed. We had Greasy Fishlets, Marty sent in, I've been excited about Skyrim for ages, but in general, hype doesn't matter if you can't afford to buy the game. # I have no cash. Then we had Evievil, Antonio Phillips. For hype, a nice long period of time where during a lot of info can come out, getting fans going. Have a great show. Bongo the same. Tickers are for life, not just for Christmas. I think that's going back to what I was saying last week.
Yeah, it was. Cheers, but it Bongo. Just struck me so funny.
You nut job.
Yeah. Oh. Yep. Okay, we did get one email this week, and it's a doozy. From Mr. Mark Wright. We know him as Marcanix. He wrote in, good evening, chaps. We had the first races of the new Gate F1 2011 Championship at the weekend, and it was loads of fun. I wonder if we're going to get the play-by-play again, by the way. Just curious. Congratulations to David the Alien, who won both races. David the Alien is suddenly taking over F1, by the way. I've noticed this. He has been winning everything. He says, can't wait for the next races in 2 weeks' time. Thank you to everyone for being there and making it such a fun night. A special thanks to David for hosting, as Parsnip could not connect to my lobby for some strange reason. I says, I also got Rage this week, and I'm about 3 hours in. I'm really enjoying the game. It runs very smoothly, and the graphics are stunning. The gameplay is good, too, which I would expect have expected from id Software. I tried a few of the co-op missions with Steve-O-Matic, and we had a lot of fun with them, apart from the last one we did, the subway level. We got right to the last big boss, and boy, he is big. We managed to double team. This is just coming across wrong, Marcanix. We managed to double team him with our rocket launchers and took the big guy down. But for some reason, the level didn't end, as it still had the objective screen to take out the boss. So we had to quit, and we'll need to do that level again. Apart from that, I'm really impressed with the game. He goes on. He says, "So this coming weekend is Extra Life." And this year is the first time I will be taking part. Congratulations, Mark. He says, luckily, some great new games have and will be dropping, like Rage, F1, Forza 4, and I'm really happy to have hit my 200 target. Also, VGHub.net hit our $2,000 goal. Although Mr. Conger has recently just raised it by an extra 500, so please, people, keep sponsoring us all. He says that he gave me a little props since I have kind of been on a tear recently, and I'm up to 886 on my goal. I'm hoping, crossing my fingers, guys, that I hit 1,000 this week. He says, well done to myself. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate the props. If I may, I would like to thank the following people who sponsored me. And absolutely, Mark, I will read them off willingly. Jenny Wright, my lovely wife. Barbara Wright, my mom. Janet Beresford, my auntie, Megan Falwell, my son's girlfriend, Helen Baldwin, worker colleague, Phil Wainwright, worker colleague, Richard Waterman, worker colleague, Chris Browse, aka gamertag Fireflight 131, Andrew Irving, gamertag Andy 93285, Mark Hitchman, aka gamertag Heathen, and Joanne Kirkpatrick, aka gamertag Flyer Abs Girl. A big thank you to these wonderful people. I will be online from 8 a.m. this Saturday for the start of my 24-hour stint. I will keep my Xbox Live party open, so feel free to pop in and give me some encouragement. It says, the last thing I want to say is that I'm really pumped for Forza 4 this week. I just wish my fellow U.S. gamers would stop rubbing it in that they're getting it today.
That's a great game to be coming at. You're doing the Extra Life. Because last year, that was brilliant, wasn't it? Because that was the end of it for you when we were doing the Sunday morning racing. And we had a rabid Scotsman jumped in as well, wasn't it? Because he was on it.
It was perfect.
And you guys were both knackered, but it was good. It was a good laugh.
No, it definitely. Between Forza 4 and Gears 3, I can't think of two better games to have out right now for just long plays.
Yeah, insane difficulty co-op on Gears 3.
We've already been talking about it. I think that's going to be a big part of my Saturday. Chris had cornered me already for it. He says, I'm not jealous one bit. Grr. Looking right at you, David, and Parsnip, and me. Just letting you know, Mark. He did actually catch me in the forums earlier and said that he would think that we should not open our games, and I told him, absolutely, I promise I will not do that. Sure. Anyway, finishes out. Have a great show, guys, and I hope to speak to you soon during Extra Life, Mark. So thank you to everybody who responded to the question of the week, and we've got a new question of the week for you, and this will be for show 138, and all said and done, I do hope to come back to doing the Kinect video stuff, so you'll have a little Avatar video to watch, and just for Duke, I will somehow type out the question so he doesn't have to painfully sit through and watch that video. But the question this week, what is your favorite gaming marathon food / beverage to have on standby when you, are poopsacking the latest release? Yes, I said it, poopsacking. Poopsocking. Poopsacking or poopsocking? You tell me.
Sock.
Poopsocking. Thanks, Chris. Anyway.
I can't believe you don't know what that is.
I don't.
You're not a real gamer.
Apparently not. But that's okay. I'll ask the question anyway. Poopsocking. Do you do it? No. Actually, stick to the questions, guys. Favorite gaming marathon, food, beverage? Well, what the hell. Comment on poop sacking if you want. Chris.
Greg.
Community playdates.
Playdates. Yeah. So the big playdate this week is, as you log in on Saturday, take a look for our Extra Life VG Hub team and jump in and keep them company from 8 a.m. to 8 a.m. Saturday to Sunday. And whilst you are doing that, starting at 8 p.m. in the UK, 3 p.m. on the East Coast, 12 p.m. in Greg's house, is the Fours of Four First Week Frenzy hosted by Mark Canix. So if you got your copy of Fours of Four, we can come trade some paint. All right. Happy birthday this week to ITF Diesel, Hemi 60, Black Dogs, and Betty Bear. And welcome to our one new member, Bodster.
Oh, I love that name. Bodster.
It's good.
Yeah. Has anybody noticed that I have the little yellow fella on a lot of my profile pictures for Twitter?
Well, I have not noticed your little yellow fella.
I try not to look at your little yellow fella.
Well, you look at the little yellow fella, and everybody in the UK will know him as being Bod. So I like that. Bodster. Nice. Nice. All right.
Sweet.
Okay, done. iTunes reviews. If you're so inclined and you like the show and what you're listening to, please drop us one. The more reviews we get, the more people will be able to see us. Assuming, again, of course, that you like the show and you're giving us a 5-star review. You can also actually do reviews on Zune. I know. Not many people have a Zune player, but, of course, the Zune Marketplace is not just for the Zune player anymore. It's also for the Windows phones. So if you have a Windows phone, get on the old Zune. Give us the Zune social review. That's what I'm saying. Emailing the show, Rich, I know you don't email the show often. You usually Twitter the show. But if you were going to email the show, where would you send that email to?
That would be OC Podcast. Notice the lack of an underscore there. @gmail.com.
Yes, do notice it is all one word. And, boy, that probably – somebody should have taken control of that way back when, and he probably forgot to and didn't bother listening to the other person and just did his own thing kind of situation. Not saying who it was, me. But, Chris, if you were going to – instead of emailing us, you felt like just sending us a tweet, what would you what name would you use? God, I cannot talk anymore. It's time for the show to wrap up.
You'd have to send that to #the game's been checked. No, wait. That's not right, is it? OC underscore podcast. That's it. OC underscore podcast.
That was awesome. Yeah. Hey, guys, gals, and guildies. all right. It's time. Let's wrap this up. Shout outs. Chris, since you were talking, why don't you continue to talk?
All right, I'll finish up. I don't have any real people to shout out this week. I'm just going to shout out Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, and Martin Short for the comedy gold that is the Three Amigos.
I've got nothing to say to that.
No, you don't. Oh, yeah.
Well, I could, but I'm not going to. I'm going to play nice.
That means you're next.
Then I am going to shout out PG Tips 77 and a big shout out to Office Depot. Get your crap in order. My God, I went to Office Depot this past weekend on the quest to find stuff for my new reorganized office. And let me just say, I have never seen a more disorganized store in my life. I mean, literally carts and boxes from like when they were going out to stack shelves, just literally littering the whole showroom floor to the point that you couldn't walk past things without having to move their carts out of the way. And it looked like that was just the organized chaos they lived in every day. You know, we called the manager over saying, you know, hey, can we take a look and see if you have this in stock? And he himself is pushing things out of the way, but just like, you know, oh yeah. Okay. Let me see. Let me get to this. Let me get to that. Not bothered. So yeah, Office Depot, sloppiest store I've ever seen. Rich, go.
I'll shout out Ben Affleck for finally making a good film, The Town. Watched it last week. Really enjoyed it.
Wait a minute. You did not think Daredevil was the most bestest film ever?
Didn't watch it. Looks like a stinker.
Yeah, it kind of was.
It was not good.
Yeah. Also, I want to shout out a little application which is relevant to our G4T people, because I've noticed a few people using this, and I went out and got it, and it's excellent. Tapper Talk. Anybody got it?
No.
Right, okay, basically, buy it, put your handle and everything from your forums that you go on, like G4TE, and it's a quick and easy way, just like your Twitter apps and stuff on your phone, to get posting posts up. So, try it. I'm going to be posting a lot more now, because I've got it on my mobile phone. Great stuff. And, what? Do you want some more info, Greg?
I would love more info, please.
Any more info? I think it's roughly about £2. That's pounds, not dollars. Oh. Okay.
So, if you were buying oil from OPEC, what would that translate into?
It equates to a thimble pinhead's worth of diamonds, which we invented. Over here. And, also, shout out to Moshi Monsters. Anybody heard of Moshi Monsters?
No.
Great. My girl started collecting Moshi Monsters. Moshi Monsters are packs of cards that you get, and basically they've got little pictures of monsters with names, and you play a game like Top Trumps. Remember Top Trumps?
No.
Top Trumps, where you've got scores and little attributes and stuff, and then you play against each other to see who's got the most points on the cards. Oh, you've got to have Top Trumps, surely.
Chris, anyway. Do you want to help me out here anytime soon?
I have no idea what you're talking about, Rich. So just finish.
Moshi Monsters. Anyway, check them out, Moshi Monsters. Ace. Great. Collect them. Buy them. I'll do swapsies with you.
That's it. We're done. We're out of here.
Bye.
Toodles.
I've got a link.
You've got Link, as in, like, Zelda Link?
No.
Yes. That's exactly what he's talking about.
See, I don't believe, Chris, one word coming out of your mouth right now.
It's good. At least you've learned something.
Wherever we go, we're three brave amigos, and amigos we shall be forever.
Whiskey. Gold.
Yeah.
That was comedy gold.
What?
What game do you like to watch while playing Whiskey?
Exactly. That was Chris Brilliant. Asking that question after all the balls.
Yes. I don't want to steal his thunder here.
No, you can have that
nonsense. That nonsense is all on you.
I'm the only one. You're the only one who said it on record. That's all I'm saying. There's no recording of me saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you don't like Chevy Chase either, Greg.
It's not that I don't like Chevy Chase. Let me put this in proper perspective. Chevy Chase, early on, very funny man. Did some comedy gold stuff. You know, Fletch, love Fletch. But.
Spies Like Us, crap.
Spies Like Us was hilarious. What are you talking about?
Later in his career, the quality of comedy drastically went down.
He's so much funnier the older he gets, because he's like in his younger comedy, he was kind of slapstick and very nice guy, but now he's such a sarcastic anus.
Have you seen that movie where he was on the farm and he was an author trying to
Funny Farm?
Yes, Funny Farm.
One of his best movies, and that wasn't later in his career either. That was like 20 years ago, Greg.
All right. Well, that was like a midway point in his career.
It was like
the Invisible Man one.
Invisible Man was also not a great. I mean, dude, when you made as many movies as Chevy Chase, you're going to make some bad movies. All right. Look at Samuel L. Jackson. He's made some stinkers.
What? You guys trying to say Snakes on a Plane was bad?
Snakes on a Plane. That's a great
movie. that movie was terrible.
Mr. Christopher Matthew, are you ready?
He's gone again! He's gone again!
I'm telling you.
We've dropped the Chris! Chris, he's gone.
Please tell me Chris is still with us. Where did he pull A? He did. He pulled it. Damn you, Chris. Just reading it now. I need to pay attention to Skype a little more.
It's easy for you to say. You've already got a cool name. If it's not a big deal to be Mr. Pink, why don't you be Mr. Pink?
Because I'm Mr. White.
There you go. There you go. Well done, Gregory.
I'm here for you. All right. Here we go. Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs, Rich. Yes. Well said.
Nicely done. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.